Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
281-330-8004, Mac Jones.
This is San Jose Jazz fan, and I wake up with the Morning Joes, Spadoni and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. They're doing a great job.
Thanks, Jazz fan. I appreciate you.
He's also doing a good job.
He is.
I assume.
You know what? I think Mac Jones is going to do a good job this Sunday. I really do. The more I think about it, the more I'm liking the Niners in a blowout this Sunday. Put money on it, Carter. You won't.
Blowout?
Put money on it, Sam. You won't. You won't.
I will.
Thank you. Carter, I think it's going to not be offensive driven, but the defense is going to have their way with this Saints offense. I am very confident in that. If that's the what I'm most confident that will happen this weekend between the Saints and Niners, it's that the Niners defense is going to dominate. I don't think that's a hot take at all. And we can throw it out to the phone lines. We got Curtis Deloach coming up here momentarily. 888-957-9570. What are you most confident with the 49ers this Sunday in New Orleans? What are you least confident about right now heading into this matchup? 10 a.m. on Sunday. Again, same time as Valkyries v. Lynx. So you better have the TV and the phone, the iPad, two TVs, whatever you're doing, got to be locked in. Maybe, like, you know, have you seen that meme with, like, SpongeBob, his eyes are going, like, two different ways?
That's going
to
be me.
You got to somehow do that. And then right after those games are done, you got Giants-Dodgers to wrap it up. So there you go. Robbie Ray, you said, v. Tyler Glasnow.
That will be the Sunday matchup, yes.
Can't wait for that. By the way, I mentioned that Curtis Deloach is going to be joining us here momentarily. And who is Curtis Deloach? Well, he scored the first touchdown in the Superdome post-Katrina. Obviously, the emotions that night were palpable. Monday Night Football, Mike Tirico on the call, ESPN, famously Steve Gleason with the block, but it was Deloach that recovered it in the end zone for the Saints against their rival Atlanta Falcons. So can't wait to talk to Curtis here momentarily. But what are you most confident in, Sam, heading into this matchup this Sunday for the 49ers? Is it the defense, like I said? And if it is the defense, oh, we got breaking news?
I guess that's sort of... Are we going to break it?
What happened?
Is it sort of breaking news? Is it broken news?
What happened?
Oh, okay. Well, according to Jordan Schultz, kicker watch.
Oh. Thank you. Jesus. We just had an email about this yesterday. What's going on? Tell me.
So according to Jordan Schultz, kicker watch.
Thank you.
Jake Moody to the Bears.
Wow.
There you go.
Cairo Santos couldn't kick it out of the end zone. Jake Moody.
Cody Parkey 2.0.
Come on down, baby. Good for him. What did I say this morning, though? I thought Washington might have been able to call him after the doinks yesterday.
That would still be a step back
for
him.
You know what? This is what I love about football. He's got an opportunity to silence the haters now in Chicago. I'm rooting for Jake Moody going forward. So much so that depending on this week, I might have to move off of Chris Boswell and get Jake Moody in fantasy. Just maybe.
Wait till you play me again in fantasy, so that way I can win that week. Were you kind of hoping that he would make it through waivers and have to go to the practice squad?
No, I wanted him to go to the Washington Commanders. Someone was going to take him.
Debo was not going to let that happen.
Oh, stop.
No, I wanted him to go on the practice squad, so that way the Niners could practice missed kick drills.
I mean, Adam Peters was part of the regime a couple years ago that drafted him. Was he not? He was.
Okay, maybe Adam Peters is the reason he left the Niners, because he just doesn't want to be around Jake Moody anymore.
Well, he's part of the reason he came in, is all I'm saying. So Jake Moody,
Adam,
good job. That was the breaking news. We definitely needed that. Any Pinheiro, though, that is a storyline none of us are talking about. What if it is a close game? Do we have confidence in the kicker, Eddie Pinheiro, to get
it
done?
Yeah, he'll get it done. Yeah, I've always... Eddie Pinheiro, I've streamed him in fantasy a couple times, so I like to consider myself an Eddie Pinheiro expert. That's not at all how life works.
Is that the position you're most confident in for the 49ers this Sunday?
I've not felt this confident about a 49er field goal kick since going into that Browns game a couple of years ago.
There you go. By the way, we got him? All right.
Hell yeah.
Curtis Deloach joining us right here on the Morning Roast, courtesy of River Islands. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Former Saints defensive back who scored the first touchdown of the first game back in New Orleans post-Katrina, as it's been over 20 years now. Pretty incredible as the 49ers are getting ready to play down in New Orleans this Sunday, 10 o'clock start here on the West Coast. Mac Jones in for Brock Purdy and Curtis. Good morning. Joe Spadoni alongside Sam Lubman. And, you know, can you kind of take us back? Because I don't know if you've watched it, but I'm sure, you know, a lot of people have. There's this current Netflix documentary right now, just, you know, kind of detailing all the horrific things that happened around New Orleans due to Hurricane Katrina, and the Superdome being a big part of that. And, you know, that night, Monday Night Football, and that touchdown, it was probably the loudest I've ever even heard just sitting on a couch. I couldn't imagine what it was like being there in person, scoring that touchdown, Curtis. Just kind of take me through that entire, you know, sequence and how it went down.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing, man? Thanks for having me. It's funny when I tell this story, because on that actual play, we was actually, you know, punt return. I wasn't even supposed to be out there on the field at that particular time. There was 10 guys on the field, and I just happened to be standing right there by the coach, and the coach just threw me in there. So, like, if you really go back and look at the tape, you see me running in late. Didn't know what to do, just put my hand in the dirt, and the ball was there. But to take you back to that day, which is crazy, it's 20 years ago, you can feel the electricity in the city that day. Heading to the stadium, I mean, you can just feel it. We didn't know what to expect going out there, but, I mean, once we got out there and started playing and running around, and when that play happened, like, that's the loudest I have ever seen, heard a crowd react to anything. And I'm kind of glad that they allowed us to celebrate as long as we did, because that's probably the longest touchdown celebration I ever seen. Like, I scored a touchdown, dunked the field goal post, ran in the back of the end zone, pointed to the crowd, ran to the sideline, jumped in Joe Horn on. I mean, the celebration was amazing, but that's a feeling that I'd never be able to get back again, and experience I've never experienced again, man. But it was great.
Curtis, you know, we think back to that team, that 2006 team. I remember watching that that team that season, and just the run you guys had that year to the NFC title game, the performance that Drew Brees put up that year. Kind of, he had his own comeback story that year, the same time that you know, the city of New Orleans did, the same time that that Saints team did. Just talk about how that 2006 Saints team, how much that resonated with the city of New Orleans. And even though that team didn't win the Super Bowl, they ended up winning the Super Bowl a couple years later. Where does that team kind of sit in the overall history of the city of New Orleans?
Oh, it sits right there. It's got to be at least the top three, if not top five. Coming into that season, like, originally I wasn't in New Orleans that season. I was actually in New York, and they was trying to do a trade and everything, and the trade didn't fall through. So I was released and picked up by the Saints. And I can honestly tell you, I was like, I do not want to go here. They suck. Oh, God, man. I get down there. It was after Hurricane Katrina. The city was still in, you know, disarray. I didn't know no family, no nothing. But coming into that, Coach Payton's first year, it was Drew Brees coming off of an injury. There was a lot of new guys there. You still had some of the crop core guys there, but it was a lot of new guys there, a lot of new faces. A new situation with Hurricane Katrina, but Coach Payton and Drew Brees did a very, very good job of putting us together. And I think we had rallied off, like, you know, a couple of wins here and there. We had a big win in Green Bay, and that kind of, like, sparked it. It was like, hey, guys, we might, you know, have something here. And then after that, we just got rolling. But I think that team stands up there, at least in the top five in Saints history.
Talking about Curtis Deloach, your former Saints DB, scored the first touchdown back in New Orleans at the Superdome post Katrina. And Curtis, it's, you know, we're talking about, you know, the football game. We're talking about Brock Purdy. He's hurt. Mac Jones is going to play, but, you know, that was real life stuff that happened. And sometimes we have to take a step back and, you know, find that sports brings us all together in a way that's unifying, and it's great. And, you know, it must feel pretty good to be able to, you know, walk around wherever you are in New Orleans. I don't know if you live there or whatever. And, you know, do you ever get, like, stopped on the street and say, oh, Curtis, what's up, man? Like, does that ever happen to you?
Yeah, so the funny thing about it is I actually live in Charlotte, North Carolina, but I do get back to New Orleans at least two or three times a year. We actually have alumni weekend coming up in December. So when I go down there, my face, you know, back then I had hair, you know, right now I'm bald-headed right now. So when I go down there, say if I go to a restaurant or something, they may not know me by face, but once I say my name and my last name, they kind of stare at me and be like, wait a minute, are you the Curtis DeLuce that scored the first touchdown? And I'm like, yes, that's me. And then after that, everything is, you know, up. I can get anything I want pretty much when I'm going down there. But
it's all on the house.
Some people do recognize me by face, which is amazing. It's pretty cool. You know, my kids get to see that and get to experience that. So it's a pretty cool thing. And I'm just blessed and happy that I'm able to be in, you know, Saints history for that.
Yeah, no, Curtis, you kind of talked about what happened on that play there, how you came in at the last second to go and get that block. But I want to take it a little bit deeper here. You score, you block the punt, you take the ball into the end zone, you're standing in the end zone. What's going through your mind in that moment as you're standing in the end zone, you realize you scored? Just take us through what you remember that you were thinking in that moment.
That it was unreal, that it wasn't real. The first thing I thought was, did I actually score? Like, I looked over to my left to see, and the referee was throwing the touchdown signs up. And after that, I really was trying to find my family, which I don't know why I thought I would be able to find my family in that crowd. And after that, for some reason, I don't know why I ran past and dunked the field goal post like that. I have no idea. I can't tell you. It was an out-of-body experience. I had no pre-celebration drawn up or anything, man. It was just an unreal out-of-body experience that I always remember, always cherish, and something I'll always be able to talk about. I actually scored a touchdown in an NFL game, and that dramatic of a touchdown as well.
Curtis, it's a great celebration, by the way. Someone who touched a rim in high school, I could only imagine doing that on the crossbar for a touchdown. Obviously, we can't talk about that play without bringing up Steve Gleason. Obviously, with the block, what he has done, you know, obviously since then being diagnosed with ALS, trying to raise money through the Team Gleason Foundation, all of that. Do you keep in touch with Steve and your relationship with him, if you can speak to that?
So a lot of the foundation things that Steve does, they still contact me, you know, either through email, through text or phone. I try to get down as much as possible to support him. Anytime he has an event, I try to get down there. His life, I mean, I hate it, but he's actually doing great things and he has a great support system around him. The Saints actually do a very good job of keeping everybody in contact with each other, especially when it comes to that 2016 with Steve Gleason. So, like I said, I'm just blessed and happy that I'm able to be a part of that. But I try, like I said, like two or three times a year to get down there. And if he has an event, he typically has an event most of the time during alumni weekend and right around Super Bowl time, and I try to get down there.
Hey, Curtis. Hey, great stuff. That's awesome. We really appreciate you hopping on this morning with such short notice. It's like 20 years. It's pretty incredible just to think about that. And it does almost like it's because it's such a big deal. I mean, like, it feels like it was yesterday, but the fact that 20 years has passed, just incredible. And that moment will never be forgotten in Saints history. All that being said, Niner fans are hoping they get the win on Sunday with Mac Jones as the quarterback. So there you go. Hey, Curtis, we appreciate it, man.
Hey, appreciate it for having me. I really do. Thank y'all, man. Be safe.
There you
Thank
go.
You, Curtis.
Curtis DeLoach, former Saints DB, scored the first touchdown back at the Superdome post Katrina. And you know what?
We have the play,
and I want to play it right now because if this is what you're remembered for most, I think most players would take that.
Michael Kanin, who has made a headline for missing 6 of his 8 field goal attempts this year, is now back to just punting and kicking off. The former Saint Morton Anderson is here for most field goals. Look out! Right through! A kickoff by Steve Gleason! It is scooped and scored by Curtis DeLoach! Touchdown, New Orleans!
And that sound would go on for, you know, a minute. Felt like 10 minutes. Felt like forever. But it was a great call from Mike Tirico, ESPN, who let the crowd breathe after that. And Curtis DeLoach, Steve Gleason, being etched in Saints lore forever for that, Sammy. So pretty incredible. And like you were talking about it off air, like when you think of inspirational teams and moments, I mean, how could that not be one of the greatest in like American sports history?
Oh, it's absolutely up there. I mean, that 2006 Saints team was just, Like, I was a fan of that Saints team that year, mainly because, my other option was the Andrew Walter-led 2-14 Raiders, so I'm going to pass on that.
I could root for Peyton Manning. They finally got over the hump that year.
No, that was against, that was very fun. Yeah, that was just a very fun football season because there was a lot of guys who just who you wanted to root for who had great years. Yeah. Drew Brees, who no one really even knew anything about him. I always remember there was that one fantasy football commercial where it's just like before the season, the guy's like, oh, of course I didn't take Drew Brees. What do you think I am, an idiot? And then Drew Brees ends up having one of the great seasons in, you know, it's one of the great careers, obviously. That was the start that year. That was such an incredible team to watch, though, that year in 2006. And they're a very, very, very easy team to root for, and it really is a shame that they weren't able to beat Rex Grossman and the Bears in that NFC title game, which, yeah, wow, losing to Rex Grossman, that's a wild
thing.
That
is one of the all-time.
Rex Grossman was in the Super Bowl.
But that's one of the all-time defenses we don't talk about enough.
Yeah.
That 06 Bears, if they had any other quarterback, they're winning that Super Bowl. Peyton Manning did not have a good Super Bowl that day.
No.
And they had the Devin Hester opening field goal. That was a great moment, but that Saints season... Yeah. That Saints season, Sammy.
One of the most, that's an incredibly inspirational year. I'm trying to think about, you know, what's a team here in the Bay Area that maybe if they didn't win a championship, we're still one of the more inspiring teams in terms of just, you know, how much they uplifted the fan base or how much they excited the fan base or how much they resonated with the fan base, you know, and as we talk Saints Niners, I think that 2011 Niner team, the Jim Harbaugh's first year, because you remember, Spadoni, that was their first really good year in about 5, 6, 7 years. Late 2000s, they were wandering the desert. Then Jim Harbaugh comes in with a collection of players that we all like, but just hadn't performed very well yet, and had one of the most just fun, enjoyable seasons we've ever seen from a Niner team. And, you know, it crescendoed with that divisional game against the Saints. And unfortunately, I was flying on a plane to Miami during that game. I literally took off about an hour or two before kickoff and landed to the news that, oh, hey, by the way, Niners won. So I missed that game in real time. I had to go back and watch it. But
was that your second semester?
That was, back for the second half of my freshman year.
Look at him. Balling, dude.
Exactly. And you think of inspirational teams like that 2011 Niner team, I feel like reawoke the Niner fan base after years and years of slumber. And the juice around the fan base has been there ever since, even through the lean years that happened with Jim Tomsula and Chip Kelly. But sometimes, when you're in a just drought of misery, like the 49ers were, like the Raiders were for a while. I mean, that 2016 Raider team, if Derek Carr didn't break his leg, there's so much what could have been there.
Why do you gotta do that?
Dude, it hurts me too. But teams like that just come out of nowhere after a long period of being down, there's just something special about those kind of teams, even if they don't win the championship, that they're always going to resonate in your heart.
Yeah, and I think that's the easy way. If we're talking about like most inspirational teams of all time, like you could always go like, 2014-15 Warriors, like, okay, great. Yeah, they won the whole thing, and it's their first title in 50 years or whatever it is. So like, I hear you on that, but it's the ones that are like the ones that don't end with the ultimate goal.
We believe. That was another one. That first one, long drought. And it reawoke this Warriors fan base. And this fan base has been juiced ever since.
And something about this season with the Valkyries and the fact that it's an expansion season, their first ever season, and it's been sellout after sellout after sellout. Nothing but support. Nothing but just good energy and vibes. Whenever you go, I've been to a couple games this year. I'm 1-1. Don't worry. It's been a vibe. And it's so unique. The crowd experience. If you haven't gone there, it's hard to describe, quite frankly, the noise level. As we're talking about the noise in the Super Bowl, the noise level at Ball Hala is just different. And, you know, everyone wants to poo-poo the WNBA and what it isn't. No, I'm talking about what it is. And it's been a vibe, and it's been fun, and it's been exciting, and it's been good basketball. And they're in the playoffs, and they have a chance to, you know, shock the world and take out the number one seed starting 10 o'clock Sunday. Be locked in, all right? Download the Odyssey app, get that Valkyries tab, be locked in, because we're the home of the Valks, and we're going to be supporting them, taking on the Lynx, 10 a.m. this Sunday. I got a dual screen it, baby. All right, got the Niners, Saints, and I got the Valkyries, Lynx right there. Why not the Valkyries? And they have a chance, you know, even if they don't, you know, win this series, we're going to remember this season for a very, very, very long time. So we're talking about most inspirational seasons or years in sports. What say you? fan bases out there. 888-957-9570. We're getting a lot of 1980 Winter Olympics. Do you believe in miracles?
Of course. That's a great call. Is that what, YouTube chat or text line? That sounds like a text
Boxer
line.
Boxer and Gerson work injury.
Yeah,
attorneys,
no,
text
I
line.
Wonder if the YouTube chat even has anything useful to contribute there.
Damn.
Nope. Oh, no, here we go. 94 Sharks, actually. That's a great one. They beat the Red Wings in the first round of the playoffs. We talk about non-traditional rivalries. Sharks, Red Wings was that rivalry for a hot minute in the late 2000s there.
You know what is a good rivalry? It's me versus Fast Five. Mm-hmm. That's a good rivalry. I guess that doesn't make sense really, but yeah. And yes, the rivalry is me like getting to the open on time. That's the rivalry between me and Fast Five and finishing up the show. But the show,
I was going to say something snarky, but I'm not.
The show's not over after Fast Five today because we've got...
Yeah, because we're hitting it early right now.
We got the crossover coming up here in about 10 minutes with Steiny and Goo. But first...
Steiny's so stoked to join us.
First, we got to get our final thoughts of the show today, Sammy. Do you want to kick us off? You want to kick us in the
high
gear?
I'm going to kick us off. And as my shirt says here, let's keep calm and hate the Dodgers. This is the biggest Giants-Dodgers series we have had since that Labor Day weekend series back in 2021. Giants fans, we need to show out this weekend.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Take our ballpark back. Don't let those blue people in. Keep them outside where they belong. And
I'm blue.
I'm gonna do a little bit of a call out here.
Whoa.
Dear Rafi Devers, this weekend, this is your moment.
Wow. He's calling out Rafi Devers to officially become a San Francisco Giant. I think he's become a Giant or four times.
He said that he wants to make all teams miserable. Remember, I asked him, Spinoni, are you ready to make the Dodgers miserable? And he gave a very PC answer. If I'm going to make all teams miserable. Rafi, I need you to make the Dodgers miserable this weekend. And you know what? I think he will.
You know what? Also, I was actually just looking at the schedule this weekend. Giants fans should also be A's fans this weekend.
Good call.
The Cincinnati Reds have a 3-game set up in Sacramento.
Let's go, Nick Kurtz.
There you go. Nicholas-Kurtz.
Sacktown, baby.
There you go. The big Amish, they call him. Churning that butter. He's incredible, by the way. That guy's insane. Lawrence Butler's on fire.
Has he taken the rookie of the year from Jacob Wilson?
Yeah, that's not even close anymore.
Wow.
You're talking about Nick Kurtz like being like in if he played the entire season, same like MVP conversation. Mm,
yeah, he hit his 30th home run, right?
He would have been up there with the big dumper and Aaron Judge. Yeah, he's up there in the 30s already in the home runs. He is incredible, and you're hoping that he's going to be incredible if you're a Giants fan this weekend, as the Cincinnati Reds are currently tied in the standings with the Giants at 74-72.
And the way that tiebreaker works, if those two teams are tied at the end of the year, it'll go to divisional record. Reds. Final 13 games of the year against their entire division. Giants, obviously, we have the Dodgers for 7, Diamondbacks, and Rockies. So, listen, I said this, by the way, new episode, Garlic Fries and Baseball, guys. Steven Rizzotto and I recorded last night. We break down some of the playoff scenarios. I think 84 wins could be enough for the Giants.
Ooh.
I think so. It's very doable. They have to go 10-6 the rest of the way. Mets need to keep floundering. And hopefully, if the A's can take 2 or 3 from the Reds this weekend, at minimum, that puts a lot of pressure on Cincinnati as well. It's a very realistic path to the playoffs, Giants fans.
Reds got their big boys pitching this weekend, so it's going to be tough. But it is a minor league ballpark, so we'll see. And the A's do hit very well at home there. Their pitching is not very good, though. Brady Singer, Hunter Green, and Nick Lodolo on deck there. Carter, anything?
Yeah, I'm going to give a shout-out to the Valkyries. Big game, 10 a.m. Sunday. You can find it here on the Odyssey app for free. And, man... You know why I really want the Valkyries to win? We need some revenge for Steph Curry.
Great point.
Graham, I like that.
I mean, as an avid Warriors fan, I want some blood in Minnesota right now, honestly. Like, we got to get them up there. So, you know, let's get some revenge for Steph.
I'm just going to do what Steph wants me to do.
You think Ant-Man's going
to
be courtside?
He better be. Pods would be.
Pods would be.
Carlite, he's dropping a 30 bomb.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, I'm going to be locked in. Valkyries v. Lynx, game one of the WNBA playoffs. That's right. The Valks made it. They're going to be locked and loaded 10 a.m. Sunday. You better be too. That was Fast 5 brought to you by Xfinity, introducing the five-year price guarantee. One consistent internet price for the next 5 years. Guaranteed. The crossover with Steiny and Guru is next, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good, Carter.
Now back to the morning roast.
A lot of people wait to hate. They cheer when they're drinking the beer. I want you to keep that same energy when we win that chip this year.
With Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Lumbin in for Shasky today. Get better, Joe. He's gone. He gone. But let's make sure. Let's make sure.
Can we wait to be introduced?
Well, can we wait till like both their mics are on too? Because I don't think anyone just heard both of those.
I got worried too.
We got Guru and Steiny for the first iteration. We're doing this every Friday going forward at this time.
Yeah.
Our own crossover with Steiny and Guru. How we doing, boys?
We got cranky Steiny. Just put the rat on the table.
But it's
early.
A payday Friday. Why?
I don't know what's up with him. You look good.
It's not cranky Steiny. It's just something's going to happen.
Just Steiny Steiny?
Something's going to happen.
Just Steiny Steiny.
I don't know what.
Steiny being Steiny.
I can just feel it.
You guys are on fire.
Something's happened. We're all chatting here in this room together like really happy coworkers. Yeah. That's the dream, isn't it, Steiny?
Well, ideally, Shasky would be here. But we'll take it.
Jesus.
We'll take
it. He just crushed him. I think we're putting out a better product here, but hey. Everyone's got to be a critic. Look at me. I'm Matt Steinmetz. I wear glasses.
I'm trying to play the role of Dan Dibley here today.
Who's going to be Willard
to start?
Oh, okay. Yeah. In the
you don't want to set the bar higher?
Yeah, there we go. All right. Well, we don't want to talk over each other. How about we do that? Well, hey, let me throw you this, both of you. So it's 10 o'clock Sunday. We've got Valkyries Lynx. I know. It's a playoff. We're the home of the Valkyries, Steiny.
Yes, sir.
All right? But we also got Niners Saints. What's on the TV? What's on the iPad? I'm putting you on the spot, Steiner.
I'm watching the Niners.
Where?
At home.
At the TV? Or the
Actually, no. Dana's opening this week.
Is he open?
I'll be over there.
Is that an invite? I ain't coming.
Yeah,
I like to watch by myself.
Well. No, I gotta watch the football.
Okay, but on your phone, you're gonna have the Valkyries,
or
right?
Or an iPad, laptop.
Sure,
I'll
have it on.
You'll be locked in. Target Center.
And that's game one, right?
Game one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Odyssey app, Valkyries tab. It's free. Lock in because
I'll monitor
it's huge.
That game for sure.
We Believe got We Believe vibes there, huh?
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Number one seed, Minnesota Lynx.
No wonder Sam asked me before the show what the most inspirational team I've ever seen.
I heard that question, and you just. Did he answer, Sam?
What happened was he
just walked off.
Well, no, because I asked him as he was walking down the hall, which, you know, yeah, I caught him in passing, which it happens here at the station. He's walking down the hall towards the kitchen. I can see the gears clicking. He's thinking of an answer. He's about to turn to go to the bathroom. He clearly couldn't think of an answer, so then he just punted. Which, you know what? I put him on the spot. That's a big question to ask. He tried to answer it, and he was honest. I got nothing. And then he walked off. You know what? I appreciate the honesty of all those actions.
Well, now I've had more time to think.
Oh, so we have an answer now?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
With several answers. The 21 Atlanta Hawks that found their way in the Eastern Conference Finals. Spadone, remember mm-hmm. that? They're gutsy.
Why was that inspirational?
Oh, because they were underdogs. They were like a 6 seed, and they got all the way to the Western, the Eastern
Conference
Finals.
You just said 6 seed. That is not that much of like.
No, it's a great run. 6 seed, I believe, Joe, is the biggest long shot champion we've ever had in our league, right?
I mean, maybe.
Well,
in the NBA, yeah.
Good. Sure. What was yours?
I wasn't alive then. So.
Okay. I'll tell you what it could be. The team that hosts the Dodgers tonight.
Ooh,
like, if
really?
This thing, there should be a case study on what the Mets are not doing, but the bottom line is the beneficiaries right now are the Reds and Giants. But it could be this Giant team. But other than that, it's We Believe. And Steiny, you're poking me early. And I feel like if you went to Kaiser and did a blood test, they would come back and say, Matt, you got guru-itis. So something's going to pop off. We're just doing
something's
that early.
Pop
but
off.
About your earlier question, Spadoni, I got to ask. It's not 1940. We're in the era of multiple TVs.
Yeah.
I'm watching the Vals. I'm watching all of it. And YouTube TV with the NFL Sunday Ticket, the Lubman, they put 4 games together. You got to up your TV screen game. But I will say this. As excited as I am for the Valkyries, they've earned this. Who decided... Let's start our playoffs up against the shield. I'll be quiet.
I mean,
come on now, guys.
It says it all right there.
Like, not talk the wisest to me. Move.
Well, and even if it was later at night, like that would just be one game on Sunday Night Football. Would have been okay. And again, we're all going to be locked in with the home of the Valkyries. That was standing, but like, if you want to capture an audience, if you're the WNBA,
Saturday maybe.
This is every single home game of this Valkyries team was sold out.
Oh my God.
They got a fan base. Oh, you're going to get eyeballs. But you got to think, how many of those Valkyries fans are also 49er fans? Like, they're also
multiple screens, but I get you.
But that's what I'm saying. I just want to have it one screen. I would like to do that. We're all going to be locked in. It's going to be great. I'm giving them a puncher's chance.
Can
Why not?
Nafisha Collier? Can they knock her off?
We'll see. A-Rod's going to be courtside, though. You think Ant-Man's going to be courtside, too?
Ant-Man taking batting practice. I was kind of impressed.
What?
Well, chalk one up for the brothers with a bat. I mean,
we've seen Pajemski do it. He was
knocking him out
of
there.
Well, he thinks he can play it.
Oh, no, he has to wait until he's 40 years old, though.
Well, you know what? I'm not mad at that. So you said inspirational teams. We just had Curtis Deloach on. If you don't know who he is, obviously you guys know who Steve Gleason is. He had the blocked punt first game back post-Katrina at the Superdome once upon a time. That was 19 years ago in 2006.
Wow.
But Deloach is the one that recovered it in the end zone for the touchdown. So that's how he kind of got on the inspirational teams. It's like that 06 Saints squad, right? What they represented for that city.
Yes.
You can never kind of replicate that again, even though they did win a Super Bowl a couple years later. So if you guys want to throw them out on the text line, 888-957-9570. We got 1980 Winter Olympics, Steiny. Do you believe in miracles? Yes. That's
Michael.
Was that inspirational?
Yes. That's probably the first or second.
Yeah.
Yes. No doubt about it. I can remember where I was.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that like, because I obviously.
Was it 1980?
Yeah, I was negative 13 years old.
I remember exactly where I was.
You were 16.
At the Shuttlesworth's family friend. We were watching it in the basement.
Did you play hockey at all as a kid?
No. Street hockey.
Oh, okay.
Street hockey.
Absolutely. Sort
of. Like rollerblades or
no,
just like running around the
sticks.
Okay. OG street hockey.
Yeah, well,
fair enough. Yeah. How do you feel about Mac Jones? You in on Mac Jones?
Are you inspired by Mac Jones?
I'm inspired by the opponent, the New Orleans Saints. Oh yeah, they're going to be good this year. Mac Jones can go down there and win a game.
Okay,
that's all. I mean, it's
it's not that hot of a take. I mean, Spencer Rattler and Kellen Moore on the other side. I hear you on that. But how's it going to look, Steiny? He doesn't have...
17-13. It's going to look exactly like week one.
Yeah, I
think this is going to be a blowout, quite frankly.
Do you really?
Yes. I don't think the Saints are going to be able to do anything on the Niners defense, quite frankly. I don't fear Chris Olave. I don't fear Alvin Kamara. Brandon Cooks is 50 years old. And Spencer Rattler, quite frankly, I think he stinks.
And I'll say this to that, and I love your confidence, but the bottom line is I'm with Steiny. I expect him to go down and handle business. But, guys, I don't want to go dental on you. But the Niners season already has been a root canal. This is not how you drew it up. And with your bravado, I get it, Spadoni and Steiny, but at the end of the day, this thing has all the ingredients to go left if the O-line turns in the performance, including Trent Williams, that they did against Seattle. And it's just like, how after one game, Brock Purdy's the hero, deserves all of it, and now, Lubman, we get the 2-5. Like, maybe I need to get past that and have some therapy, Steiny, after at the cafeteria, but I just can't get past no Kittle and no Brock. That's just, come on, man.
But one thing you are going to have is a ball going through the uprights on kicks this week. Let's not forget the points that you lost last week. That was 6 points you lost last week that you're going to have this week for since you no longer have current Bears legend Jake Moody. You guys saw that Jake Moody is signed by the Bears.
Practice squad, by the way. It was practice squad.
So the Bears can do what I want the Niners to do, which is practice their missed kick drills. But yeah, you got a good solid kicking game now with Eddie Pinheiro. That's going to add some scoring there. But
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns outside of
you know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an old Saints team that is... The Saints are shooting for a top five pick.
Yeah, no
this doubt. Is not a serious team that is trying to win serious football games. Spencer Rattler stinks. He is a booty quarterback. This is a defense that should absolutely shut this Saints team down. Will they rip up a big playoff? Probably. It's the NFL. Alvin Kamara, yeah. He is that dude. They gotta shut him out. I mean, I would be surprised if they shut him out, but not like shocked. No, I mean, Steiny, you say 17-13. Honestly, I think 24-13 is also very much in the realm of possibility. This is a game that even with Kittle out, yeah. Even with Brock out, with Juwan Jennings, he's TBD. It don't matter. This is a game.
So
that
no style points. Just get the dub.
Just get the dub. And honestly, they have enough tools in their toolbox to pull this out.
Goo, how big of a drop off is it from Purdy to Jones? You think? You think it's a massive one? We had Jermaine Wiggins on, former tight end, won a Super Bowl. WEI in Boston, their show. He said it's significant. He said massive. Actually, was the actual quote. Massive drop off from Purdy to Jones. I feel like that's pretty strong.
It is, but I'll say this to that. If we go back to the draft before everybody was proven wrong and we went into a lab and you wanted to create, you know, traits or characteristics of a quarterback, I would Mac Jones would be my guy over Purdy. And that played out in the draft. But you talk about Purdy's Wi-Fi, his ability to read and get rid of the rock, and Mac Jones, he's earned the bad part of what he's done. As a starting quarterback, you look at his record, and I told Willard and Dibbs and Steiny, and I believe this, you are a product of your environment. But what I don't like about Mac Jones is he's not that mobile like Brock Purdy. So the Saints D, they're not bums. They sacked Kyler Murray 5 times, and I know he runs into sacks. But again, if they can get active and Mac Jones is sort of, you know, the Statue of Liberty, then you got problems. But you ask me a question, and I'll say this. One guy's got to 2 NFC championship games and minutes from a Super Bowl victory in Brock Purdy. So I got to put respect on his name and say there is some drop off. But mechanically and physically, is there really?
So, Steiny, I was thinking about this too, and it's a great point. But also, conversely, if those quarterbacks were switched their scenarios, let's say that it was Mac Jones who started his career with the 49ers and Brock Purdy started with the Patriots. I think it'd be very similar to where both those quarterbacks and how we view them are now. Does that sound insane?
I wonder about that, to tell you the truth, because he would have had, so Brock Purdy in theory would have had Belichick.
He would have had Josh McDaniels as his OC and Belichick as his head coach.
And then Matt Patricia.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
The guy who
pencil ear.
Uses a pencil on a laminated play card.
You know, I don't really.
That's great.
I don't, if you're asking me what's the difference between Mac Jones and Brock Purdy, I'd say that's what we're going to find out. Mm. Like I was telling Guru this yesterday on the show, I feel like Mac Jones is in a way the quintessential average quarterback. Mm. He doesn't do anything great, but he's okay. And so I want to see what Kyle Shanahan makes a guy like him look like over the next 2 or 3 games. And then you can kind of compare it to Purdy and see, oh, you know what? Now I know why Purdy's a lot better than Mac Jones, or now I know what the difference is between Purdy and Mac Jones. I have a feeling it's going to be a lot of mobility, but I also want to see the accuracy and just kind of the poise, because I think Purdy's got a lot of those things.
By the way, what if I told you at their combine that Mac Jones had a faster 40-yard dash? Would you believe me?
I would believe you, but it's that first step that I feel like Purdy's really. Like, he's got that quick first step, and he's elusive, and he gets a little bit of a head start.
So it's that 10-yard split that you're talking about, probably. Yeah, that's the biggest gap of their combine. I know, I'm going deep dive here on the combine. But Mac Jones in his 10-yard split ran a 1.70, and Brock Purdy is 1.55. But the 40-yard dash, Mac Jones did have it by a 0.02. So very comparable there. But the shiftiness in the pocket, I'm with you there. They're both going to make mistakes. I think Mac, unfortunately, has a lot more boneheaded plays in his tenure. So we look at him kind of like how we looked at Sam Darnold like before last year. It was like, oh, he sees ghosts. He makes boneheaded plays. We all kind of laughed at him this past week, Goo. But like that's kind of what I'm viewing like Mac Jones this year. Just give him competent coaching like he had in his first year in New England. He'll be fine.
Yes, and I know this is not Soul Train, but I got to go here. I look at Kyle Shanahan and quarterbacks like Dr. Dre. He got Snoop Dogg, Eminem, 50 Cent. How was their career? Oh, my gosh. Then they kind of went different ways without Dre. It's like, oh, boy, what happened? And I look at Kyle to quarterbacks like that. Look what he did to Jimmy. Almost got him a bowl. Got him to 2 NFC championship games. Look what he's done for Brock. So why didn't that work with Brandon Allen? It's not Kyle, right? It's kind of, oh, it's Brandon Allen. Why didn't that work with Beathard or Mullins? So I'm eager to see, Can he get Mac Jones platinum, you know?
Yeah.
For however many games.
Well, because
he was
in Sam. He was, because Brandon Allen's a sixth round pick. CJ Beathard was a third round pick. Like, say what you will about Mac Jones, Sam Darnold. They were first round talents.
Yeah, man.
That matters. Jimmy Garoppolo was a, what, second round talent. So first and second, a lot different than sixth round. I know, Mr. Irrelevant.
I was about to go there.
I know. Right.
But that's an exception,
that's
not
an exception,
the rule.
Correct,
you know?
Sam. There
and,
you go.
And Deb said he caught a stray, Stoney, so he heard you.
Oh, but yeah. Well,
about what? Anyway, go ahead.
Dan Dibley here. Squirt.
So Dibs caught
the greatest.
Dibs caught a stray?
Yeah.
So that makes it, 693-4?
It's okay, Dibs. I got my first Steiny stray today, too. So,
you did get the
one. We're all learning here. Yeah, I'm still icing that burn there. Ideally, we'd have Shasky.
Was it Easy E stray day? Meant Easy Pay Day? Anything like
exactly.
That? Come on. No. As it all comes back to
it. Was an Easy Pay Day fight. But, again, you talked about, you know, yeah, Kyle with these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, why I feel optimistic with Mac is because, you know, we had Mia O'Brien on yesterday. She covers the Jaguars out there for ESPN Radio. She knows everything about that team up and down. So she knew what she saw from Mac Jones last year. And her takeaway was, you know, Mac Jones is every quarterback that has succeeded with Kyle Shanahan in his system.
Mm.
I compare Mac, his ability to win is going to be very similar to how the 49ers probably won with Jimmy. Because Jimmy obviously was not a guy who can run. He had kind of the stone feet thing going there. Mac Jones, same thing. I think the winning, it will look somewhat similar. I don't know if Mac Jones really needs to put this team on his back and carry it. Because Jimmy never really did that, yet it was still able to work out. You have talent around him. Granted, offensively, not as much, but the talent is still there. I mean, McCaffrey, Robinson, Pearsall, those are still three very good playmakers that you can rely on there. But the talent on the defense is there enough to where that should be able to clean up at least one or two of Mac Jones's mistakes. Like, this offense the Saints have, it's just stale looking enough that even with this young Niners team that is playing with a lot of heart and a lot of energy right now, shout out Robert Saleh for providing that. Like, at the end of the day, this is a far more talented team, the Niners, than what they're going to be seeing on the field down there at the Superdome.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the Free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. And Sam Lubman alongside me, filling in for Shasky, rocking that Giants jersey. We haven't really talked about him yet, boys, but a massive series starting today. Verlander v. Yamamoto. All right, I'm gonna ask you both this question. What's more likely when we're talking on Monday, that the Niners got the win in New Orleans or that the Giants got the series win against the Dodgers? Which one of these is more likely?
That's a great question.
Well, let's start with you, Steiny.
49ers get a win.
Yeah, just a win?
Yeah.
More likely?
Yeah, that's what I think is more likely. It's going to be tough for the Giants to take 2 or 3. Not saying they can't do it. Who do the Mets play? The Cubs?
The Mets.
No,
are...
Rangers, actually.
Oh, that's right. The Rangers. Then they have
it. Is hot. They're hot.
Yeah, so
that's a 2.
You know, the thing about the hole that the Giants dug themselves is, you know, they've done a nice job to get to 1.5. But this is one where Mets win 2 and you lose 2 and it's over. Pretty much. So the Giants still got to be close to perfect. And what I mean by that is that if and when they lose, the Mets lose 2. But they're closer than I thought they'd get, that's for sure.
Well, you go.
Yeah.
More likely.
No, I'm with Steiny. It's not even close because the Dodgers are the Dodgers, and maybe just seeing the Giant uniform, and they want to play spoilers to what the Giants are trying to do, so maybe they don't see them in the playoffs. But that's a task. I'm going to put respect on what the Dodgers are, and then I think about that last series before the All-Star game where they ripped the hearts out of the Giants, and the Giants were at fault for that. But the Niners, yeah, just the fact that you got the SF on that helmet, you're 1-0, you're wounded, you should be able to win this game.
By the way, Go, your boy Micah looked incredible last night.
I mean, did he really, or are we just thirsty for headlines?
He was in Jaden Daniels' grill the entire game.
But if you look at the stat line, Steiny and Loveman, now the stat line didn't play that out. He didn't have some, but oh, forget the stats. He looked incredible. We're just drunk on the trade, and everybody wants to give a winner.
No.
But I'm just like,
I don't know, man.
Miss me, man.
That looked like a Packers team that is going to be running things
in.
That looked like
is this what we're doing?
The Packers look like a team based off this 2-game sample size.
That's right.
That is going to be running the NFC this year. It's the Packers and the Eagles right now. They meet on November 10th on Monday Night Football in Green Bay.
Yeah.
That's going to be a very very fun matchup there. I can see both teams coming in with maybe one or two losses apiece. And you're going to find out who really runs the NFC, at least in the regular season so far. But that Micah trade, even if he doesn't, you know,
even if he doesn't
put up numbers in the stat sheet, and, you know, I think sometimes you want guys to do that. Sometimes there's, you know, the underlying metrics. Just the energy boost that a guy like Micah gives a team that talented like the Packers. Like, you talk about the intangibles. Like, everyone in that Packers facility is walking with a pep in their step the minute Micah
gets
there.
You heard the fans saying, thank you, Jerry.
Oh, thank you, Jerry.
He loved it, too, every single second.
Oh, you think he did?
Oh, no, he was like, well, he was bobbing his head to it.
Oh, Micah. Jerry might love it, too.
He's a sadist, too, so he probably loved that stuff.
Well, Jerry just likes people saying his name.
Well, Steiny, I'll ask you this. Like, watching that game last night, how you were locked in. You're always locked in on Thursday Night Football. Austin Eckler, non-contact Achilles.
Jesus.
I mean, if you're a Niner fan, you're watching that saying, I mean, like, you got a little scared, right? I mean, come on. How could you not get a little scared? He's 30 years old.
I thought the 49ers were the only team that have injuries.
Nobody said that.
Pretty much that's the consensus.
No, the 49ers have the most injuries.
And we're in
every other team gets
in the
one,
history of football.
Every other team gets one or two injuries a year. The Niners get one or two injuries a game.
Yeah, that's a herder. I mean, he's going to be out all year. I think he's – I'm not a huge fan of him, though. I think he's on the downside.
Austin Eckler?
Yeah.
Who's that guy?
I was talking to Evan about him this morning.
Well, he was the number two. Who's the guy? That guy Bill now, who's got like three different names?
Yeah. Jeffrey Kroski Merritt.
Exactly. This is too much. That's too much for me. He just goes by Bill. Oh, what do you guys got coming up today? What are you guys doing?
Goo?
What are you doing? We got my acting, episode 3. That'll be 1 o'clock hour.
Acting?
I know you're acting.
Sorry.
Well, thanks for listening to the show, teammates.
1 o'clock is my nap time, so.
Dude, I
got my naps timed out, bro.
The Odyssey app. Yeah, we got that, and then we'll discuss just, you know, you ever have a take?
I have.
And you're in the car, and you go back, and it's game film. Steiny doesn't do this. I do it, and I listen to our show, and I'm like, man, you stepped on Steiny. He could have been better. But yesterday, I thought about Trent Williams, and I don't like the fact that the Niners allow him, and he's a vet, and I get it, allow him to sit on his ass at the joint practice, mucking it up with the old lineman from the Denver Broncos.
I was there.
My inside sources gave me that.
I was there.
And Loveman, he didn't have the best game Sunday, but it's like he has a license to use the first two or three games to get in shape. And I'm like, this team can't afford that. Yep. So I'm looking at him like, you better be on your P's and Q's come Sunday for the backup quarterback, because you can. And then he came out the game Sunday. So had that been a loss, man, we'd be talking about a lot of other stuff. But I patted myself on the back for calling him out on that. Like, dude, you got to stay ready, man.
Sounds like some Warriors players that I know from the past, Steiny. All right, Steiny and Goon next. And it's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.